look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, a pleasure to bring in Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. What's going on?
Well, fans are coming back. San Francisco's in the red tier, which means 8,400 if things go well by March 24th. If they stay in the orange tier for two good weeks, the next couple of weeks, could have 13,000 there for opening day.
Well, that would just be fantastic. I'm absolutely an optimist by nature. You have to be a little bit guarded. The way the scientists talk about the variants that are out there and being highly contagious, and that another surge could be coming. You can't say this is any kind of a guarantee. No one has interviewed the virus yet, so.
We don't want the virus to be a season ticket holder because they get priority
like to trade it for a head cold to be named later or something. But it is great news. It shows that there's definitely some rays of hope. And if this actually is the case, that'd be a great thing for every team in the game.
Yeah, it would feel good in San Francisco, especially because people have worked hard in San Francisco. Well, a couple of things to touch on for you and I. Joe Altobelli, who managed the Giants 77, 78, 79 before Dave Bristol took over, had a great 78 season. He passed away this week, Bruce. And Joe Altobelli, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, absolutely. In 78, it was just before I started writing, carving the beats for the Chronicle, the Giants and the A's, but I was a regular at Candlestick, and they made the big trade for Vida Blue. They traded seven guys he basically never heard of, except maybe Gary Thomason, to the A's and got Vida, who'd lost 19 games with the A's in 77, the most in the league, and he was really down. All of a sudden, he shows up on the other side of the bay. He's in there with the Count Montefusco and Jim Barr, and then Jack Clark and Madlock, McCovey and Evans. It was really a very fun team. Mike Ivey hit the big slam against the Dodgers that had everyone thinking World Series, and it didn't work out that way, but it's a very, very entertaining team. It's funny just looking into Altobelli's career. His association really he's going to be remembered for what he did with the Orioles. I mean, he played for their Rochester Farm Club for years, and became later became a manager in the Orioles system. Then he manages Rochester. He's one of the great minor league managers in the game's history, really. And he was managing all those great Oriole players as they came up: Bobby Grish, Don Baylor, Eddie Murray, and such. And I found one other thing in Altobelli's resume. In 1960, Marty, playing for the Dodgers AAA club in Montreal, he hit 31 homers. Mm. So he played 18 seasons in the minors and not terribly distinguished, but he kind of broke out that year. And, the Dodgers were loaded. They had Norm Larker and Ron Fairley and a bunch of outfielders, Willie Davis. Tommy Davis is coming up, Frank Howard. And they traded him to the Twins for kind of an unknown guy, and Joe was really never heard from in the big leagues again. But he's very much respected in the Orioles organization in a huge way. And the Giants, even though it didn't turn out for Altobelli after 78, that was a very memorable year.
Well, he came into the Orioles after Earl Weaver, so that worked out well. I remember Altobelli for putting Jack Clark at third base and telling everyone, if you have a seat behind first base, don't sit there. I remember that.
An experiment that did not last terribly long, I think.
No, you couldn't sit there. You had to bring a glove because Jack was going to throw it in the seats. Yeah. And I do remember him in the International League because I was in Miami in those days. And as a teenager, but I remember Altobelli. I remember him quite well. So, yeah, I'm glad we could touch on him. Another thing baseball is doing June 2nd is going to be Lou Gehrig Day. And June 2nd has an amazing connection to Lou Gehrig, and he died on June 2nd, and all these different things that happened on June 2nd. But your thoughts about Lou Gehrig and Lou Gehrig Day?
Well, you know, you look back on those great Yankee teams, and of course Babe Ruth was the centerpiece with a million good reasons. But imagine having a guy like Gehrig on that team. I mean, this guy was driving in like 170 runs was not terribly unusual for him. He drove in 185 one year. And he, you know, of course, in those days, the really great hitters, most of them, not especially Ruth, but a lot of great, great players did not strike out the way they do now. I mean, this Gehrig was hitting 40-some homers a year in the high 40s sometimes, but never struck out over 100 times. I think his high was maybe something like 80-something, but generally more like 50, 60 times. I mean, just a great contact hitter, a great clutch hitter, a true gentleman. You know, Columbia, college in Columbia and in New York, and just, you know, great background, very distinguished guy. It was always disturbing to hear that he and Ruth weren't terribly close and were not on speaking terms eventually, but they did patch things up before Gehrig passed. And but yeah, it's just you know, I'd love to have seen him play. I think he was a little before your time in New York, Marty.
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
but you know, he didn't get along with the Babe because something happened with his wife, and who knows what the Babe was up to.
No, but, yeah, that's never good.
No, they reconciled later on, but you're right. An all-star, MVP, triple crown winner. We think of the streak, but Bruce, this guy, you know. Unbelievable player. Unbelievable player.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, June
2nd. 340 lifetime hitter.
I know. June 2nd will be the date, and a lot of good information about ALS will be transmitted around then. So that's good. Hey, I love baseball history, and one grabbed my eye today. 1971, Charlie Finley convinces American League President Joe Cronin to play a game, and three balls would constitute a walk. And Finley said, well, this will speed up the game. Well, they had 19 walks and 6 home runs. And that was the end of it. How about Charlie Finley?
God.
You know, Bruce, you never knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, I think Charlie wanted to actually make it 40 feet 6 inches between the mound and the plate if he could, and just 70 feet between the bases. Yeah, that's definitely one of the all-time horrible ideas. I mean, you know, ball four, that's one of the basics of the game. But, you know, he was an innovative thinker. He had a lot of ideas. You know, some of them were very good. He knew how to build a team. He knew how to tear one down. But, you know, some of the ideas he had were a little bit on the preposterous side.
No, we wouldn't have night games and the World Series or the All-Star game without him. He was very much a proponent of that.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was all daytime, but, you know, it's not very realistic thinking these days.
Well, let's bring in Bill Lasky. Bill, always good to have you on the show. Your thoughts about the Giants and maybe what's going on with the fans coming back?
Well, I'm excited to see the fans come back. I think we're seeing that in spring training, but now that California has opened it up a little bit, I'm excited to see what happens. But one of the questions I want to ask Bruce is, one of the issues that COVID-19 has done to all the journalists is you don't have that one-on-one interview in the clubhouses, and you have to wait for that Zoom interview session where they can only interview one or two players, and the next day every writer's talking about it. What has that taken away from the great journalists like yourself and others?
No, I mean, basically everything. I mean, everybody's getting the same information, and it's very stiff when you're on Zoom. Generally, nobody's really into it. You know, the questions get asked, but there's a lot of sort of, you know, vague plastic answers. But what you really miss is, you know, if you're working a clubhouse, you know, all of us who have done it a long time, there's always that great time when you can go sit alone with somebody, mm-hmm. you know, just the two of you. And, you know, that's when, you know, great interviews really take place, especially if he's already familiar with you and he trusts you and you're sitting down to talk about something and you get a really nice story that nobody else has. You know, and also just being able to go in the clubhouse and sort of read the room. You know, is this – this was a really tough loss. Does it look like it? You know, is everybody hiding out, or what are guys saying? Are they avoiding you altogether? Do they look like you know, the hell with that? We'll win tomorrow. Things like that, just to gauge the mood of the room. You know, or when a big trade comes down, are guys super bummed out about losing this player? Excited about getting the new guy, all that stuff you can just see without talking to anyone. And you know, unfortunately, it's a group thing. I mean, you can't bring back the locker room access with everybody standing 6 feet apart. It doesn't work. I mean, if eight people want to talk to somebody, they're in a little cluster, and if you're not right there, you can't even hear them. So I think we're a long way from that, and it's a shame. We've always wondered, as the pandemic just persisted, will we get that back? You know, are the players more comfortable doing it the way they are? The PR people are probably a lot happier. They don't have to go around monitoring potentially sensitive interviews and cutting them off, you know. And seriously, I mean, so there's a lot of issues that go on there. We can only hope that it comes back. But again, because it's a group cluster kind of a thing, I think we're quite a ways from that, whatever happens in the stands.
All right. Well, Bruce, we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow morning, Johnny Cueto today, and I'm anxious to see what he does. And maybe of all the veterans coming back for the last hurrah, he may be the most interesting to me because he commands the game. So we've got a lot to talk about tomorrow, so enjoy the day, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Yeah, for me, Johnny Cueto, very interesting to see what he can get done today and to follow his ability as a veteran pitcher to trick the hitters and do what pitching is all about. Bill, you've got the post game today, and wish you well, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, getting excited for the post game show, Extra Innings, and I have a nice interview with Tyler Beattie. Stay on, and we'll talk baseball and take your phone calls.
All right, Giants baseball next right here on KMBR. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.